a pleasant song to get us going. We're going to play Musical Microphones today. Our guest, as you probably know, because it's kind of a regular thing, the last Thursday, not the fourth Thursday, as I said last week, we have James Anderson, the Marion County naturalist here. And hey, James, say a word or two, see if that mic's working.
Good morning.
Ah, we've got you.
Hey, we don't on the first try.
That's pretty good. And I noticed we're going to be given a treat today, listeners, because James brought in boxes.
That
means he's got something in the box. I asked him if it was alligator scat, and he said no. So he's going to tell us about what he brought in. And by the way, happy birthday, old man, at 30.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Last week, while I was sitting here covering my mistake of having you not here, he turned 30.
Yes, the big 30.
You don't look a day over 29.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm halfway to 60, as I told everybody.
You know, 30 is the only birthday I remember. That's the only one I really focused on. And it made me feel horrible when I turned 30.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now, when I turned 70, I didn't like it, but it didn't bother me that much because age is only a number.
Yeah, so, very true.
Yeah, and the next day when you wake up, you don't feel any different.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I hope you didn't. All right, what are we going to talk about today, James?
So I brought in an owl with me today.
Oh, my goodness, an owl? Who?
That's right, who?
And I'm going to tell our listeners that this animal is not alive, right?
No, it is preserved.
Yeah, I am and I told you this last time, I am not a big fan of touching live animals.
Yeah.
I don't mind looking. As a matter of fact, I love looking at them.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I talk to the squirrels every day when I do my walk.
Yeah.
So they don't talk back.
They just a little chattering?
Yeah, maybe a little chattering, but nothing like my wife. If I would be talking to my wife, I would be getting orders to do something.
Yeah,
but the squirrels just smile and chatter. So talk to us about that owl.
So we
have a lot here in this county.
Oh, yeah. We have four species, or three main species in Marion County. We have the eastern screech owl, the eastern barred owl, and the great horn owl.
Is the great horn owl the bigger one?
Yes, they're the biggest owl.
That's why he's got the name great.
That's right. They're the biggest owl of Ohio, and in Marion County, and our screech owls are our smallest one.
Is that what you brought in today?
Yes, yeah.
He is small.
Yeah, low eastern screech owl, and this is as big as they get. It's a little bit bigger than a pop cam.
Makes me sad to see that he's passed.
Yeah, so reason why this guy passed away, unfortunately, he was hit by a car. And what happens is people will throw, and I've been guilty of this in the past, but you know, if you eat an apple or banana or some type of vegetable or fruit and you're done with it and you're like, oh, it's going to decompose. Yeah, you throw it out the window. And it's all good, but
if it rolls down the street.
Yeah, if it goes down the street and the side of the road, you got mice who like that. Well, then what attracts mice? Predators.
Yeah,
you got owls and foxes and other types of animals, and then unfortunately these guys are just can't escape as fast enough as other animals, and then they get hit.
So they're not real fast flyers?
No, they are not. Not like their distant cousin like the falcons. Falcons, you know, they can dive, you know, 220 miles per hour.
Holy cow, how do they keep their feathers on?
Just aerodynamic.
Yes.
But no, owls are more gliding, kind of like vultures. But yeah, they're just not very fast flyers.
What's the biggest owl?
The biggest owl that here in the United States is the great gray owl.
Oh, okay.
So those guys are out west.
Okay.
And they're a little bit bigger than their great horn.
Now, the owl, the great, what is the?
The great horn owl.
Great horn owl. Do they ever attack pets, small pets?
They can. There have been some reports of them attacking small dogs and small cats. And when I'm talking about small dogs, I'm talking like chihuahuas and toy breeds. I mean, the ones that are about the size of a cottontail rabbit.
Okay, about the size of my dog. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to worry about that the rest of my life.
So, but as long as you keep bright lights on, keep noise, I mean, these owls, they're not attracted to those kinds of areas. And also, too, great horned owls are not as common in urban environments. They're more common in, you know, your rural areas.
Are they totally carnivorous?
Yes, yes, they are all carnivorous. They yet don't eat any type of plant material.
Oh, okay. Well, then I won't worry about the owls in my tomatoes. Some bugger is eating my tomatoes.
Oh, might be a tomato worm.
No, it's not a worm. I've looked for those.
Oh, okay.
But and it's not, apparently, it's not a squirrel, because even the ones up high are getting taken down. But a friend of mine who thinks he knows about nature, he's not like you, but he told me, I think it's a raccoon.
It could possibly be.
Because it happens at night.
Okay.
It doesn't happen during the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be raccoons. It could be opossums.
So. Oh, yeah, I forgot about, and I've seen an opossum in our yard.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a possum, whether you... from the north or the south.
That's right. Well, you know, while we're kind of talking about diets with owls, these eastern screech owls, they can eat, they have recorded to about 123 different kinds of animals that they'll eat.
Oh, my.
From little mice to rats to small birds, fish. That's why they're actually the most common owl in the state of Ohio, due to their size and their fast diet.
Plenty of food to pick from.
Yeah, and these guys would be more common in the city of Marion, because as long as you have a tree that has a little cavity hole, I mean, these guys can fit in for the most part.
Yeah, he's tiny. He's, like you said, about the size of a pop can.
Yeah, now there's another owl that visits Marion in the wintertime. It's called a Solowit owl, and they're more in the northern part of the county up by Killdeer, and they're a little bit smaller than this screech owl.
Oh.
And then another visitor we usually get, or two other visitors, is the short-ear owl. They're out in the Big Island Wildlife Area.
Okay.
And then the long-ear owl, which hangs around mainly Killdeer Plains.
Well, the people that named these owls weren't very creative.
No, no, they were not.
Just picked a part of their body and named it after. Now, do screech owls actually screech?
They'll make a little whining sound, screeches, barking sounds. I'll do a little imitation for you.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to hear that.
And I always tell kids, you can do this. So you get a little spit and put it in the back of your throat and go.
Kind of a warble.
Yeah. And what's actually,
that doesn't sound to me like anything I would have thought an owl sounded.
You know, it's funny you said that, because when we think of owls, we all think, oh, they go hoo-hoo. Yeah. Nope, not all of them.
Do some of them do that?
Probably your great horn, I guess, has that traditional sound. But my favorite is the barred owl. And he says, who cooks for you, or who cooks for you all? And my joke is, nobody.
You're married.
That's right.
You have somebody that cooks for you now.
That's right.
But 30, at least.
But we have them at Marion Tallgrass Trail, the barred owls, mainly out by the 3-mile marker by Epsifield. It's a little bit more wooded, so you'll see the barred and the great horns in that section.
So if I hear something while I'm walking on the Tallgrass Trail that says, who cooks for you?
Yeah.
That's
the barred owl. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then I can remember that name because of Shakespeare and the bard and that sort of thing.
That's
okay.
Right, that's right.
I've got it down. I've got it pat.
All right.
Well, he's a handsome owl. I'm sorry he got hit by a car.
Yeah
and he kind of is spotty.
A little bit, on their chest, they're a little of that molted color.
Yeah.
What's actually cool about
back is brown, though.
Right? Yes. And what's actually interesting is, depending on what part of Ohio you're from, if you're from the more southern part of Ohio, you get more of these reddish-brown color.
Okay.
And then if you're more in the northern part of Ohio, you get more of the gray.
Does that have to do with their food?
Yes, it does have to do with food, genetics.
Oh, okay.
Here in Marion County, I've actually seen both color variations at Tallgrass Trail and other locations. But the grays are, I see, more common in Marion.
All right. Well, we're sorry, Mr. Owl, that you passed away, but we're glad that we learned things from you.
That's right. And you know, the fun myth, we call owls that they're wise and all, but owls are actually, no.
Well, he couldn't have been too smart. He flew in front of a car.
They're not very intelligent.
Aren't they?
No, when you compare it to all the other birds and you were to do a scale, you know, your calls, or macaws, your crows and jays, they're very intelligent. Mm-hmm. But then owls are the least intelligent, because it actually has to do with their eyes. Their eyes are very large, very big, and it takes about 70 to 80% of their head capacity. So that only leaves about 10 to 20% for left for brain. Owls are actually very easy to trick. So like that little imitation I did for you.
I've really attracted screech owls.
And I've heard a dog barking, attracting great horn owls. So
they aren't smart.
No, they're not. But I think it's just because how observant that they look. I think that's why we put the term that, oh, they're the Mr. Wise owl.
Yes, they're paying attention.
That's right. But you know, you've probably seen books or movies or what, with owls always moving their heads.
Yeah.
Well, what it is their eyes are, they're different from you and I. They're not eyeballs. So you know how you and I can move our eyes left and
so
right?
So they look straight ahead.
Yeah, they're tube shaped. Yeah. So that's why they're always moving.
They're tube shaped.
Yep. They're tube shaped.
That's interesting. That I would have never guessed. I wonder why nature decided to do that.
I don't know. And then what's also the other myth, we always say that owls can turn their heads all the way around.
Yeah.
Well, they can't do that because if they do that, their necks would snap.
Yeah.
So what it is they have extra neck vertebrae and extra muscling in their neck region. And so they're able to move it 270 degrees, so about three-fourths of a circle. And because of that extra muscling, that's why they're able to do it so quickly. But most of the times when we observe owls is during the nighttime. And so our eyes just see.
We don't see.
We get our interpretation is wrong. And then because of the dark time environment, we're like, oh my goodness, that owl turned his head all the way around.
So. Well, we're not so smart.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I told you about going out to California, and my son has an owl house, and they greeted us with some anger, or mommy did, because I had the little babies. She had little babies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of protective.
Oh, yeah.
But I think all animals are kind of protective.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the mamas. Specifically, I know my wife is very protective of her babies, and they're not young anymore, and she's still protective of them. Well, let's hold off on the other. You've got another box, and we'll hold off on that because we're getting close to the break time. But they had that open fishing day. Did you get a lot of people out on the lake that day? Did you really?
Yep, a lot of people came out.
My wife and I thought about it, but since we don't have a boat, it would have been very embarrassing to stand out in the water.
No.
Yeah. So we didn't do that. Well, we got about maybe about a minute. So you have anything you can fill a minute with?
Yeah, so owls are silent flyers because of the velvety structure that they have. It actually absorbs air, and their feathers have what's called fringes, so the air actually travels through it and against it. So when you hear chickens, you know, they do that.
Yeah.
Well, owls, since the air is traveling through, you hear nothing.
Oh, my.
So if we were talking right now and not owl flew by, we wouldn't hear it.
If we were a little mouse, we wouldn't hear it coming.
That's right.
And that's probably why they're still around. That's kind of a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
Not defense, it's an offense mechanism.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool. Now, it actually passes through
their feathers, yeah.
A feather. So if you took a feather and held it up to a microscope, you could see that there are holes in the feather.
Yeah. They're called fringes.
Oh, the fringes.
Yeah,
that's out on the edge.
Yeah, that's like a teeth on a comb.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Well, we're going to take a break here in about 10 seconds. You're listening to Glenn Coble here on... what is the name of this show anymore?
On the air.
On the air. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Ted, did you know Marion, Ohio is the popcorn capital of the world?
No, Scott, I didn't know that. Could you get me some?
I don't have any at the moment.
Some capital. Does anyone have a Chicken Place's number?
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Yeah, you're here. What did you say the name of the show is again?
On the air.
On the air. Yeah, we're here with James Anderson, Marion County's naturalist, and he's got a better title than that, but I always forget it. So
yeah, you're right. Park naturalist.
Park naturalist. Yeah. Yes. He works for the park district.
Yes.
And we're are we a small community to have our own park district?
I would say yeah.
Yeah. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
That's kind of a cool thing. I asked you about the fishing on...
It was Father's Day this year.
Yeah, and it was free fishing.
Yeah.
And you said we had several people out there.
Oh,
what
yeah.
type of... Did most people fish from a rowboat, a canoe?
Or just on the edge.
They fished.
There were a few that did a canoe.
Did they? Okay.
But yeah, most people did edge fishing.
I was going to... I keep trying to convince my wife to buy a little canoe.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it would be great. The problem is I can get into the canoe, but can I get out of the canoe? At my age, it gets a little harder. We have to think about those things. Well, what else? I was going to ask you something about are you getting a lot of people walking the trail?
Yeah. Now, I will admit, when we had that big heat wave,
yeah.
It was a few weeks ago. It was in the upper 90s and all. Probably attendance was down some.
Sure it would be. It's hot.
Yeah, it's very hot. But I think with it cooling down more and people are going out and exploring the parks.
And you can stay socially distanced out there very easily. Yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. And especially with the whole mass mandatory thing. I mean, people will worry about that. And like you said, because we can all stay socially distanced and all, I mean, yeah, we won't.
You're not required.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I looked it up because I walk... not every day, but I walk a lot of days of the week. And I looked it up, and if you're in the process of exercising and you can socially distance, you aren't required to wear a mask.
Yep.
So get on out there to the tall grass trail because you need some exercise.
That's right. And make sure to check out the other parks, too.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, tell us about the other parks.
So we have Teradice, which is outside of Caledonia.
Okay.
There's a Teradice Nature Preserve because here recently, our friends, the Teradice Nature Center, which is across the river, they just actually opened up trails.
Okay.
Tyler Butler, he's their director for that facility. It was Trail of Romine's old house.
Okay.
And they converted it to a ARBA and a nature center as well.
Is there a big rivalry there?
No. We partner a lot, and we do a lot of partnerships, and we're really glad that they're here because we're not just the only ones in Marion County.
Sure.
So
the more we can... encourage people to think about nature and help nature better.
Yes, exactly.
I'm pretty much a tree hugger.
That's good. Then we have Greenspur, which is just 3 miles north of Prospect. So if you remember where the old power plant was,
right
in the corner of Route 203 and Route 4.
Okay.
That's where that park is located.
I'll have to drive by there.
It was John Watkins. It was his property, and he helped acquire that land to us. And then we have Myers Woods, which is on Marion Wyandotte County Road, right across from Kildare Plains Wildlife Area. It was Charleston Myers, one of the judges here in Marion. It was his property.
Now, do you encourage people to donate their properties to the trail?
If they want to, I mean, they're more than welcome. But I guess I haven't really encouraged it. But if they're really thinking about leaving a piece of land behind, I mean, and be utilized for recreation, I mean, we would definitely love to talk to people.
There's a little park right not too far from Prospect High School. Right in the town there. Do you know anything about that park? I think it's owned by the community.
Yeah, that's the Prospect Community Park.
Okay, all right. That's a nice little park.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's beautiful.
And they have a nice little walk back out into the woods.
Yeah.
And I guess it's about a mile walk, circular, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they have it marked off that way, but I love going out and doing walks like that. Now, my daily walk that I do is identical every day, but that's because I've gotten to be close friends with puppy dogs on the way, and they come and greet me.
I look at your pictures a lot. You take some good pictures.
Well, thank you. You're very kind. I edit them, by the way. Anyway, tell us more about what's going on with the park district.
So the drinking fountain is currently closed right now, so with everything. So please, please bring water for you, your family, and also your furry friends or for your dogs. So please make sure that you plan for that. Please, please pick up trash. Unfortunately,
I saw you had a lot of trash.
Yeah, and it's especially around the lake. The lake is always the worst because people like fishing, and then fishing usually involves drinking and all that, which we don't allow alcohol at our parks. But
do you occasionally find a can of beer?
Oh yeah, all the time.
And if you do you shoot the person that?
We found a lot of fishing equipment, lures, bait, cans.
Yeah, after that fishing day, I saw you had a lot of trash.
Oh my goodness, yes. And I clean that around that lake, but usually every other week I'll go and I'll clean around the lake in the first mile or so, and I still pick up tons of trash. So if you take trash, make sure you take it home, or dispose of it in a proper place and not on the ground.
Do you have people? Can people volunteer to help you do that?
Oh yeah.
What would they do? Let's say I wanted to come once a month and help clean up. Would I call you?
It's totally up to you if you want to do that, or if you just want to just do it on your own. I mean, that's totally up to you. What would you like to? When it comes like picking up trash, now
I want a badge.
You want now if you want more helping with maintenance and all, then yes, we would contact with us and we would try to get you the proper equipment or what and all that. So.
You know, I have been very surprised, and my wife and I probably come out and walk once a month. We don't do it every week, but maybe a little more than that. But when we walk, I'm always amazed at how it really is fairly clean.
Yeah.
I rarely see the trash that I saw on your website after the open fishing day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of a shame. Hey, people, wise up.
I know, when
you're given something free, take care of the place.
That's a good way to say it, yeah.
And it is free. There is no admission to walk on the trail. Yeah. And what is it, 12 miles long?
12.4, yep, one way. So.
Yeah, so it'd be...
So about 25 miles if you round it. Yeah,
it's, if you want to run it, you'd almost have a whole marathon.
Yeah.
You'd have a whole marathon.
Close to it, yeah.
Yeah. What is a marathon, 25 or 23?
I think it's 25.
Oh, okay, 25.3 or something.
Yeah, when I always brag, we're 0.1 mile more than the Hocking Hills Trail, because they're 12.3 miles and we're 12.4, so we got that extra 0.1, so I'm proud of that.
Oh, sure, just because you're from down there, I bet you go down there and stick your tongue out at people.
Oh, yes.
James went to Hocking College, right?
Yep, and Rio Grande.
Both schools I know very well, having come from Athens. Lovely, lovely territory down there.
Oh, it is.
It truly is. It's beautiful. Wayne Forest?
Wayne's National Forest,
National Forest puts a canopy of green that you just can't believe. And then when it starts to change.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, because there are so many hills, even little baby mountains down there, that it kind of gives you an uplifting of color.
It does.
And it's just gorgeous.
It's ranked number 2 as the most visited area for the fall season.
Is that right? Next to who?
Is it New England or New Jersey? Out on the East Coast.
Yeah, there are New England. England's famous for their...
Okay, so yeah, it's New England, yeah.
New Hampshire or something.
Somewhere on that east side of the U.S.
Yeah, one of those news.
Yes. But yeah, Hocking, I think it ranks number 2 or number 3.
Oh,
so.
My.
As the most visited.
And it is beautiful.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, you can't turn that down. You go to the Hocking Hills down there, and you can camp. They have camping.
Oh, yeah.
They have
private and state.
Yeah, and they have Logan has the, what's the name of the lake there? Is it Lake Logan?
Lake Logan, and then there's Lake Hope.
Yeah, and Lake Hope. I've been to Lake Hope.
Yeah.
Lake Hope is a little bit less woodsy.
Yeah.
But we've been there. My wife and I have been there. My wife and I do camp. We're thinking about getting a new camper.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell my wife.
Oh, okay.
I hope she's not listening. I found a camper that's self-contained. It's a Class C, and it's only 24 feet long, so I won't kill anybody with it. Have you ever driven one of those big ones?
No, I have not.
Oh, my goodness. They were trying to sell me a 33-footer when we first started looking into RVs, and you have to be a brave person to start out camping that way. Oh, yeah. Because it's kind of scary to drive down the road with something that's almost exactly the width of the road, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. You don't have camping out there at any of the...
No.
Any of our...
No. Now, we do a parks. Lot, like, if you're a Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, we've had them camp out before. So, if you're... Yeah, if you're a scout leader and you need that, let us know, and definitely let us know ahead of time, because we always have to let the sheriffs know and all that.
Sure, sure. Now, where would they camp out there?
We've had quite a few that camp at the trailhead.
At the trailhead. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
they've outside
the building
shelter. Yeah.
Yeah, they've put tents there. I think we've had some camp out by the lake before.
I was going to say the lake area, especially on the opposite side. Of the, not the non-walking side. Well, people do walk all the way around it, but the opposite side. It's kind of open, and you wouldn't be disturbed. But the problem is it's a little on a hill there on the other side, if I recall correctly. Not a steep hill, but anyway, Boy Scout, Girl Scout leaders give you a call if they want to come out and camp.
Yes.
I think that's a great idea for it. And I remember as a Boy Scout, we did a lot of camping in pretty wilderness areas.
Oh, yeah.
That would be kind of fun out there.
Yeah. Now, Hickory Grove Campground, they're adjacent to us at the 3-mile mark by Epsyville.
Oh, okay. So you could camp out there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is there access to the trail from that campground?
Yeah, they actually made one.
Oh, cool. Hey, we've got a caller. Let's see what the... I forgot to tell people what our phone number was. I'm sorry. Hey, caller, you're on the air with James Anderson. How can we help you?
Hello? Uh-oh. You know what my phone says?
What?
Potential spa. Spam.
Spa.
All right, we're going to cut that one off.
I'm sorry. You know, that happens to everybody, I guess. But let me... It's a good thing, because it reminded me that we will take callers, and James can give you some answers that you won't believe. he taught me what coyote scat looked like, and I'll never forget
that.
I try to avoid it when I can. Our phone number here, and you're listening to On the Air. This is Glenn Coble, and I'm here with James Anderson, the Marion County naturalist. And if you'd like to talk to James, the phone number, are you ready? You got your pencil? I'll give you another 3 seconds. All right, go get the pencil. Come on back. This is the phone number you need to call. 740-383-9944. Let me give you that one more time. 740-383-9944. Or if you can't remember those last 4 digits, it's just WWGH, which is our call letters here at 107.1. I had somebody from California ask me, because I had announced that you were coming on, and I also announced what yesterday's program was as well, and this person messaged me on Facebook, how can I find you? So I gave him how he could find us. You know that you're probably being listened to by people from California.
Oh, yeah.
Florida. We've had people call from California, Florida, North Carolina.
Wow.
All over. So who knows? Hey, if you're listening to us and you want to say that you're a little bit further away, we'd love to hear from you. Call from Hawaii. That would really be neat.
Or Alaska.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think, let's see, the time right now is pretty close to 6 o'clock, I think. It might be a little early.
Well, Scott, you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here. We're talking to James Anderson, the Marion County naturalist, and as natural as it could be, I walked right through the entry to that little break. I do that in honor of our friend Charlie.
Yes.
Charlie used to walk over everything.
He was famous for that.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Right in the middle of it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. You got anything more you'd like to talk to us right now about? Or are we going to wait on the other box? Or are we...
Sure. One more thing we'd like to add. So, one of our other park updates. So at the intersections of at each row, we have a little bare soil spot that you can plant a little garden or a little just flower bed.
Where is this?
At each intersection of the trail, that where it crosses the roads.
Oh, okay.
So like her road, 203.
Oh, so you can put flowers in.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we've had several people take advantage of that at different spots on the trail, and then we still have more spots. So if you or anyone you know, rather your family or a group, organization, or you just want to get kids involved in that, we'd love for you to able to do that. So definitely message us on our Marion Tallgrass Show Facebook page or call us at our park office, 740-223-4161.
Okay, and you can tell them which ones are still available?
Yeah, yeah.
And I assume they should get permission to do that, not just go out and plant four daisies.
We've had a few people that just really? Just out of the blue, yeah. But let us know in advance, and yeah.
That way you can plant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I planted a perennial garden.
Oh, yeah?
Started it about 3 years ago. And I thought, it's really looking bare. So I got a few more plants, and it looked better last year. And then I got a few more plants, and now you can't see through it.
Oh.
And I'm not sure what animal it is, but some animal beds down in one of the bigger purple plants. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, you can tell it's been laid in by a animal because there's fur and it's flat and it's not supposed to be flat.
Okay.
So what type of animal would sleep in a garden like that? Okay. It's wide open.
I mean, if it's humongous, it would be a deer, but if it's...
No, it's not that
it's big. It's smaller.
It must be a cat. It could even be a cat.
I was just thinking cat sounds like it, because coons and possums and all, they are up usually in higher grounds, up in treetops.
Now, we had raccoons down in Athens. We had raccoons living in the sewer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, that's kind of nasty, but...
But food.
Well, yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah.
Food goes down. I mean, you got water going. I know it's not sanitary water, but you do have some.
They don't care.
Yeah. Some sort of water coming out, and then you're protected against, predation. So,
yeah
you're not being hit by cars, mainly in Athens, but.
Predation?
Yeah, another word for predators.
Oh.
So, but coyotes.
Look that one up.
That's right, predation. But coyotes, I mean, they sometimes hunt raccoons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And as we've talked, I think both times I've had you on, we've talked about there are lots of coyotes throughout Ohio.
And you can even find them in downtown environments. Yeah. You don't have to be out in the wilderness or country area.
I saw a deer... in Marion, when was it? A couple, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's common.
But really? It's common?
Yeah.
Oh, I was shocked. It was over in the cemetery area.
Oh, yep, that's a great area.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
And it saw me and took off, and it wasn't real friendly.
Well, that area.
Afraid of me.
Well, that area, it's got a lot of that kind of fence road area with those trees, so that's a great place to hide. And of course, plant their flowers around the grave sites, deer will take advantage of that.
Have lunch.
And yeah, have lunch. And there's some probably water source here and there.
Now, you said that, I think in one of our shows, you were saying deer will eat plants out of your garden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I have fencing around my garden. Obviously, there are animals that are smarter than my fence and smarter than me because they get in and eat all my stuff. But
how tall is your fence?
Oh, it's only about 3 feet.
Okay. What I recommend...
It's called a bunny fence.
A bunny fence, okay. Yeah, I recommend about 4 feet high and then burrow at least 3 feet deep.
So burrow?
Yeah, put it in.
Oh, I'm not going to be doing that.
Because, I mean, you got rabbits and groundhogs that will take advantage to go under.
Yeah, and there's some other underground animal that I read in my...
Probably foals.
Yes, that's exactly
it. Old foals.
Are they little?
Yeah, they're a little bit bigger than a mouse, but smaller than a rat. So they're kind of like right between, so they're probably like that big.
I have three raised gardens. And I went out to one of them one morning early in the spring.
Yeah, little holes.
There was a hole. I mean, it wasn't little. It was little, but it was.
But yeah.
It kind of. The it was big enough that the dirt around it was falling into it.
Yep, that's old foals.
Yeah. And now it wasn't as big as I would have. Not, I guess squirrels don't burrow, do they?
Oh yeah.
Oh, some do they?
Yeah.
It could have been a squirrel, but that would have been an awful small squirrel if that had been a squirrel, and it couldn't have been a raccoon or a bunny because it was pretty small. But okay, so now we know why my garden is not any good anymore. That and the fact that I hate to weed.
Oh yeah,
I hate weeding. I do have lots of onions growing right now, and I have garlic growing right now. And anybody that needs any herbs, let me know because I've got lots of herbs.
Well, that's actually good for repelling deer.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they are not a fan of anything strong scents.
I've seen once deer scat in my yard.
Okay.
And that's, I'm guessing at it, a big pile of lots of pellets.
Okay.
Is that a deer?
Well, I mean, it could be deer or rabbit. Now, rabbits are
this would be.
Okay. Yeah. If they're quarter size,
yeah.
Then you're talking about deer. Now, if you're talking about dime size, you're talking about more rabbit. And rabbits are more rounded and... I know this kind of sounds gross, but deer are more like raisin shape.
Okay. I'll have to. Well, it only happened once.
I guess more oval than they're more round. I guess if that makes sense.
Okay. I got you. Now, what I'd like them to do is do it in the spring over all of my gardens, let it blend in with my gardens, then I'll have really good soil.
Yeah, but, it
would. I've been thinking about asking farmer friends for horse manure because it has hay in it and stuff, and it's very good. But I don't know any farmers that have horses. Oh, well. We've got about 8 minutes, and we're kind of... I'm kind of excited to see what's in the second box, and I'm also I'm kind of trying to put it off till the next one. But let's go ahead and see what you got in the second.
All right, ooh, got some bats.
Bats. I kind of like bats. Like I told you the story of being bumped into by a bat.
I think I remember you were telling me that.
He didn't want to, and I didn't want to, but it just happened to be I was swaying when he was swaying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, me. I can't see it. Okay. What type of bat is
that? So the one on top, that is a big brown bat, and the little one is a little brown bat. Now, okay. Yes, you can go by size, but... The other thing is too, for the big brown bat, it looks like a cowlick, and you can't see his back on here, but it's very silky and shiny. But versus the little brown bat, it looks more like an afro and just kind of poofy.
Oh, yeah. The people that name these are not very creative.
No, they're not.
Well, and they do nothing but good, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I mean, they don't attack people.
No, I mean, the only time they attack people is if you corner them or you grab them.
They're in need of blood.
the only one that really does that is the vampire bat, but those guys are in clear in southern United States.
Yeah, they're very big.
They do get about a little bit bigger than the palm of your hand, but our bats here in Ohio are all just insectivore, so only eat insects.
Okay.
Now, these guys, I mean, they're great because they eat mosquitoes, they eat moths, and so not only are they getting rid of those species, but they're getting rid of diseases because, you know, mosquitoes are known to, you know, carry all those lovely diseases that we know of. And so bats are very, very beneficial to people.
And a lot better than poison.
And exactly, because the problem of poison, it does kind of work, but you are harming the environment.
Yeah.
And it's not just affecting
and you're
the
harming the animals eventually.
And exactly, because you're affecting other things. You're affecting the water, which then affects other wildlife and plant life, and then eventually it will catch up to human life.
And some poisons that we use thins the shells of our birds, and so
DDT was that big one.
And
that was it did its job well. Like I tell people, it helped got rid of a lot of the mosquitoes, which was carrying a lot of the malaria. But the problem was the food chain, what's called a bioaccumulation. So the little birds or animals were eating the mosquitoes, and then those medium animals were eating the small birds or small animals, and then you had the eagles and the hawks and other predators who were eating the medium-sized animals. And so each time you went up the food chain, that concentration of that chemical or DDT just got stronger and stronger and stronger. And by the time we were getting to the bald eagle, or the what's called the apex predator, or the top level of the food chain, they had more DDT concentration than the mosquitoes that were directly impacted by.
Oh, wow. Well, that's affected our fish as well, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if it's DDT, but the poisons in the lake, like Lake Erie, can you eat fish out of Lake Erie?
I mean, for the most part, this year seems to be a really good year, but in years past, especially with the algal bloom or algae bloom, they kind of recommended you probably shouldn't.
Well, what did the algae bloom do to the fish? I mean,
so the algal blooms, what they'll do a lot of is they'll absorb the oxygen really quick, or the dissolved oxygen, and the next thing you know, these fish can't breathe. Also, too, the bad algal blooms, they'll release chemicals that can be harmful towards wildlife.
They're working on that, though, from what I understand.
Yes,
to keep the runoff down.
Yes, yeah. And it's not just poisons to control, like for mosquitoes. Some of it's the farmers that are nearby.
Fertilizers.
Fertilizers. And like you said, because of the runoff. So the EPA has been really working hard. But like I said, this year, I don't know if it's because of the coronavirus or what, but this year we haven't had as many algal blooms. Not like last year. What was really
not
crazy,
as many people up there messing it up.
And yet, and that too. What was crazy last year, my wife and my family and I, we went to Lake Erie on my birthday. And then the week later, so it would have been actually this week of last year, the algal bloom hit the one beach that we visited, and then they closed the beach down.
Yeah, I had the same thing happen when we went camping up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of wrecked the week. I'll tell you what, we're only a couple minutes away from the break, but in the next segment, I'd like you to speak to all the – we have an awful lot of people putting – I guess it's fertilizer on their lawns and stuff like that. And I'd like you to talk to that. I mean, I don't want to run down that industry. I mean, they have their reason. But what can we do to make it safer and so that we don't everything is interconnected, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Throughout nature.
Yes.
You hurt one species, and it hurts a dozen above it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're talking with James Anderson, and if you'd like to talk to him after the break, we're not too far away from the break. Give us a call. We're on the air. That's the name of the show. And our phone number is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'd like to talk to you. Write down some questions. We're going to be gone here for about 14-15 minutes, and write down some questions and get back to us after the break, and we'd like to talk to you, like to help you out. All of you tree huggers like me, tune in and get more active. We all need to be a little bit more active, and we'd like to have you come back after the break. We're going to be gone here in about 5 seconds. Thanks a lot, and you're listening to On the air. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 till 12 today. And welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
Porky, Marvin there, he doesn't seem to like you very much.
It's all an act.
It's not an act.
It's a big old act.
I'm going to blow up your act.
Don't blow up my act. I really don't have an act. I just see it's talk rapidly.
Well, Porky, you know I can't sign off this program with you here. Before we close out, where did your famous saying come from, and then give it to us?
Oh, it's how they asked me to end the cartoon. That's it. It was that simple. And I just walked up to the mic and I said, that's all, folks.
Bob, you are a pleasure. You are a...
But so much was made, and I don't know why, during the first Jim Tressel press conference when all that hubbub was going on, you made the comment that somebody asked you if you were going to fire him, and you said he hoped he doesn't fire you. Do you wish you hadn't said that? It got so much play.
You know what I think, actually? I have a very quick wit. Sometimes it's smarter than my tongue. But you know what I wish is I wish people had a lighter touch. Do I regret I said it? Probably so. But on the other hand, I think that we need to get back to the fundamental premise of the American psyche.
What you who were listening today to invest your time and energy in this radio station. I think it's an interesting experiment. We're having a lot of fun doing it. But by